Morning, everybody. Morning. I did have a shower this morning. You can all move forward if you want. I don't smell that bad. It always seems that we're always so far back when there's so few of us. Go on, take the challenge. See how far to the front you can come. I remember years ago somebody saying to me, it's interesting, isn't it? If you went to the cinema or you went to the theatre, you all want front seats. If you're going to see your favourite pop group or whatever, you'd fight to get to the front seats. But we come to church and we all sit near the back because halfway through the service, we're all going, is the chicken on? Did I put the oven on? And as soon as we sing that last song, I'm at that door so I can check whether the potatoes are going to burn or not. It just seems to me when I'm up here at the front, you all don't like me. That's what it is. Welcome to our service this morning. Welcome to those of you that are here and to those that are watching on Zoom, if we have anybody on. We do have people on Zoom, so hello those of you on Zoom. I'm sort of a bit excited about this morning because we're kicking something off that I'm going to explain a bit later on. But let's do the first things first. Catherine's asked me to remind you that there is a list in the porchway as you come in for the church meeting on the 25th of September. Lunch, so that happens after the church service, so there will be a lunch provided. If you want your lunch, please pop your name on the list in the back. And traditional to being a church, we love lists. There is another list in the porch. We are starting our Bible study for this month, and I'll be kicking that off this morning, but it's going to happen on Sundays and Wednesdays. So if you plan on coming to the Wednesday Bible study, if you could pop your name on another list in the porch, we know roughly how many study books we need to get hold of so that you're sort of up to date. It's not compulsory, and if your name is not on the list and you suddenly think on Wednesday at around about 2 o'clock, oh, they've got that study on this afternoon, I'll nip along to that. If you haven't put your name on the list, it doesn't mean you can't come, but it just helps us to know roughly how many books we need to buy. Okay, so you can all make your judgment on that depending upon how the first part goes this morning, can't you? So we've come together to worship God. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God, our Maker. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings your praise. They sing praises to your name. Father, we come together into this house, not out of tradition, not out of ritual, but because we want to praise you. We want to enjoy being in your presence. And this morning we want to bless you. So bless those of us that are here, bless those of us that are watching on Zoom, and bless those that maybe catch up later on and watch on Zoom, on YouTube. Whatever happens, Lord, we pray that your word would be blessed and that we would learn more about you. Amen. So, we are going to sing our first hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Stand, sit, use the book, use the screen, I don't mind, but just enjoy singing praises to God. Let's sing together, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Oh,
talks about taking things to God in prayer. And our study this month that we are kicking off this morning is this one, which is it's 8 weeks. We're doing it in four. So we're doing 1, 3, 5, and 7 on Sundays, 2, 4, 6, and 8 on the Wednesdays. But it's just an 8-part study on the Lord's Prayer. So to kick us off, there we go. I wanted to ask this question: What is prayer? Now, rhetorical. Don't shout out your answers, because we all have our ideas of what prayer is, and some of us find it easy, and some of us don't find it so easy to pray. So I did a couple. I didn't use books because we don't anymore, do we? We all use Google nowadays. But I looked up a couple of dictionary definitions on prayer. And the first one was, prayer is a noun, so it's a doing thing. It's a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or another deity. So prayer is solemn, according to this. It's a request of expression of, it's a request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to God or another deity. And that came from the Oxford Languages definition on Google. And the next one is, prayer is an invocation or an act that seeks to activate a rapport with an object of worship through deliberate communication. In the narrow sense, the term refers to an act of supplication or intercession directed towards a deity or a deified ancestor. So prayer we tend to think of as being like when we come to God and we have lots of things we need. Often we regard prayer as just being something we go to God to ask him for stuff. So it's like our shopping list for God. God, today or this week we would like you to do this or to look after somebody or to make this happen. But on the other side of the coin, prayer is something where we go to God and we thank him for what he has done and we can praise him for who he is. So prayer is the way that we talk to God. It should be like a natural and comfortable communication. The act of talking to God should be one that we perform as a regular part of our daily lives. When I used to walk to work, I'm going back a long time now, when I used to walk to work, I used to walk along the road and I would pray, but I would pray out loud because I found that more helpful. So I'd walk along to it and everybody would think I'm just talking to myself. But I would be talking to God. And it became just something that I did. And it was not something that I did in a particular way. It was just having a chat with God at the beginning of the day. And I found that really beneficial. When I stopped walking to work, of course you lose that thing then because your lifestyle changes. But it should be a regular part of our daily lives. And biblically, we are expected to take part in this process of praying. Jesus, when he was asked by his disciples about prayer, he said, when you pray. He never said, if you pray. There's an expectation that we as Christians in a relationship with God would be praying, would be conversing with God. How easy do we find it? And I think now sometimes we find it easier certain days than others. Sometimes I feel like I'm praying to God and all I'm doing is hitting a ceiling. And other times I feel like I'm praying to God and things are getting through. What do we say? Well, it should just be a communication between you and God. And then how do we say it? We'll cover that in a little while. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer. And I hope that for each of us, it helps to make the process of praying easier and more natural. The time that we spend in God's presence enriches our relationship with him, and it should help us to become more in tune with him, with his thoughts and his plans. And we're going to start this morning by looking at the opening to the prayer that Jesus gave us. So that's coming up later on. So we're going to sing again, and I've chosen two songs. We're going to sing them back to back. There's Abba Father, and I'll explain why I chose that one a little bit later. And because we're talking about prayer, the second we're going to be singing is to be in your presence. So we're going to sing this again, stand, sing, you know. I would say jump around on these, but they're slow songs. So, you know, but stand or sing and join us together as we sing Abba Father and then to be in your presence. Two thought-provoking songs. That last one, I haven't sung that for a long time, but it sums up really where we should be when we're having our prayer times, isn't it? To be in your presence, to rest in your presence, not rushing away. How often is our prayer time when we come to God? Maybe at the beginning of a day, we're rushing around, we've finished getting ourselves ready, we've popped our faces on and all the rest of it. And it's just, Lord, be with us today and help us in all that we do. Amen. And off we rush. How often do you take time to be in and rest in the presence of God? And I hope that over these next 8 weeks, our experiences of prayer are going to change. And I say that because singing that song, and that second verse, to rest in your presence, not rushing away. As I was reading those words, and in the preparation for today, I realised that, have I got this right in my life? The answer is no. I do go to God, often with a list, and then rush off. Whereas it should be a conversation between me and God, not just me. So, our reading, as has come up on there, is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And this is where Jesus is teaching his disciples. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand up and pray in the houses of worship and on street corners so that they will be seen. I assure you that they have already been paid in full. And when you pray, go to your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. But when you pray, do not use a lot of meaningless words as the pagans do, who think that their gods will hear them because they have prayers along. Don't be like them. Your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. So this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honoured. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us for the wrongs that we have done, as we forgive the wrongs that that others have done to us. Do not bring us to hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. If you forgive others the wrongs they have done to you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive you the wrongs you have done. So, as I said, we are studying the Lord's Prayer over the next 4 weeks. This is the title of the study, and the chap who's organised it. And this morning, we're looking at this section in Matthew's Gospel that we read. And we can see that Jesus started his teaching by telling his disciples what not to do. So when they said to him, teach us to pray, he said, when you pray, don't make a big show of your praying. And don't use fancy words or language. Oh, hang on, I'm jumped ahead there. So, don't stand on a street corner or in a public place and make a great big show of the fact that you are praying. So that others look at them and go, isn't that person good? Look at them standing there praying to God. Isn't that very good of them? Because Jesus says, if you do it to be seen that you're doing it, then you've already received your reward. And then he says, don't use fancy words or long language. I love this one because I've been in churches where, I'll be polite, where people use what I call, what I used to term that as a prayer language. So I could be having a conversation with you now and talking in plain English, or if we were sat in a coffee shop having a little chat, and then I could say, well, let's pray together. And we say, okay then. And then I go, oh, Father God, you are just and glorified. You are wonderful in heaven and earth. Thou dost do all these things. You know, it's not how I talk. So it's not, it's like me putting on a show. I would rather go to God and say, God, do you know, you're great. It's wonderful to be able to talk to you this morning. I can chat with you about all sorts of stuff because, Lord, I know you're listening. And I talk to God like I'm talking to a person next to me. There's no fancy language needed. God is not impressed. God does not expect you to speak the Queen's English. This idea that God only speaks English and the Queen's English is wrong. God understands. God knows everything. And this parable that Jesus told is a good lesson. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself, so he separated himself from everybody else. So he was isolated out, so he was on show. And he stood by himself and he prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like these other people. I am not a cheater or a sinner or an adulterer. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a full tenth of my income. The tax collector, who stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed, beat his chest in sorrow and said, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We go to God to pray because we can. Because God invites us. Because God wants us to come to him to pray. We don't use fancy words, or I don't use fancy words. People say when I do the service on a Sunday, they like it because they go away, they've understood what I've said. That's the sort of person I am. And most of what I say on a Sunday morning, I say to you because it's been a challenge to me. And so I'm talking to you from an experience that I've been going through. God wants us to come to him in prayer. He likes it when we spend time in his presence. And your everyday language, be it English or whatever your natural language is sufficient for you to speak to God in, and he will understand. So why do we pray? In that reading, Jesus says, do not be like them. He says, your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. So I have a question. Why do we ask him? What's the point? If he already knows, why go to him and ask him for stuff? Because God likes us spending time with him. God likes it when we take time out of our busy day and to sit down to be in his presence. God loves that. He loves, like you who are parents, I'm sure you love spending time with your children. If you're grandparents, you love spending time with your grandchildren. There is a delight in being in a relationship and being in somebody's presence. And God's the same. God loves it when you just go down and sit down and say, God, now it's just me and you. Let's have a little chat. You annoyed me this morning because I woke up and it was raining. And I had to walk somewhere. And so I got very wet. but I praise you for the rain. Do you see what I mean? We can sit down and just be in God's presence and chat with him. God's not going to say, oh, you can't speak to me like that. Spending time with God, that's one of the reasons we pray. Being in his presence is a beautiful place to be. I don't know how many of you have ever gone into a room to pray, or you've sat down to pray, or you've come into a church, or you've gone into somewhere special that is your private little place, feeling wound up, feeling frustrated, and you spent those few moments with God and you come out and you think, I feel so much better because I've been in God's presence. So we pray because spending time with God is important, and because being in his presence is a nice place to be, and because actually voicing our thoughts helps us. Do you know, sometimes I've gone to God and I've been praying for stuff and I've asked him for something and I think, I don't know, that sounds a bit silly, Lord, or a bit selfish. And by voicing it, it's made me realise the things that maybe I'm asking God for. And maybe it helps me to focus myself a little bit more. Similar thing is when I'm at work, we have a lot of stuff in the ambulance. And when we're with a patient and we use stuff, I might say to my colleague, we need to refill the BM kit. Now, I say to them, I'm not telling you that so that you do it. I'm telling you that because by saying it, two of us know, and also I've imprinted it a bit better on my mind. Does that make sense? Is anybody else like that? You almost have to say something. When you get home, if you're on your own, and you get in, and you've got a habit of putting things down, and then you say, where did I put so-and-so? There's nobody else around, but I've put my car keys on the table. It's in my mind. So when I then go, later on, where did I put my car keys? I've had that conversation, albeit with myself, but I've had that conversation, and I've imprinted it on my mind. There is something about actually, before, I'm going to take those back, because somebody might think they're getting a car today. There is something about actually voicing, speaking the words that we're thinking. So that's why we pray. God loves us spending time with him as a parent does. And in so doing, we build a stronger relationship with him. And in praying, we actually learn to ask him the things that he wants us to ask him. And maybe in actually voicing them to him, we learn which ones of our desires are more in line with the ones that seem self-centered. So then Jesus gave his disciples what we now call the Lord's Prayer. I often abbreviate this to TLP. If you ever look at my notes anyway, if I'm talking about the Lord's Prayer, it's always TLP. So it's just, you know, that's one of these days I'm going to say to the church, we're going to do TLP now. So, Jesus gives us what we call the Lord's Prayer. But did he intend that we just recite it word for word? Did he mean us to do this? Did he give it down and said, this then is what you should pray? Or did he intend it as a plan for a prayer? So when you pray, you should pray like this. Now, I have to say, it does depend on which translation of the Bible you read. Some say this when you pray, pray like this. This is the good news I read this morning. And when you pray, Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. All right? So you can read that as being Jesus saying, this is what you should pray. But if you read other translations, it says, when you pray, pray like this. To be honest with you, I don't think it's worth making a big fuss about one way or the other. I think if you're just going to recite the prayer word for word, as in Jesus taught us this prayer, therefore we should pray this prayer, I think a lot of us need to perhaps read the words and get an understanding of it, because I think some of the things that are in there, if we really understood what they were saying, we would not be so blasé in just repeating this prayer. The one I always go back to, and the way I've read this and when done studies in the past, is forgive us for the wrongs that we've forgive us no, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread. Forgive us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Sorry, I have to go back into the King James. That's when I learned it at school. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. My mind says, Lord, forgive me in the same way I'm forgiving other people. And then think about how you forgive other people. And if you forgive people like most of us do, where we forgive but we hold on, so we can use it as a tool later on, or a weapon later on, or an instrument to get back at somebody, then that's how God forgives. So that's what I mean by saying we need to study it and we need to understand, so that when we pray these words, we're not just saying a repetition like 2 times 2 is 4, 4 times 2 is 8, 6 times 2 is 12, you know, our times tables, for those of you who are my sort of age and we used to sit at school and recite them every week. We're not reciting a prayer, we're praying a prayer, and we need to know and mean the words that we are praying. So did he mean just recite it? Or did he say, when you pray, pray like this? Start out with something where you're addressing God. Start out with addressing who he is and how great he is. Tell him, praise him. Start by praising in your prayer. Don't start on your own opinions and your own thoughts. So you say, Our Father, you're wonderful. You're great. You're almighty. You're all powerful. And it puts our perspective of who God is in the right place. Before we start on our, oh, and by the way, Lord, I need to eat something today, sort of thing. Do you understand that? So look at it as a, maybe as a plan. Is there a problem with praying the prayer word for word? No. Because at least you're praying. At least you're spending time with God. But we have to be careful that we're not just reciting it like our two times table. I think the last thing we want to do with this prayer is lose what power and meaning is in it. Because I don't think Jesus would have wanted his words to be wasted. Or do we use it as a pattern, as a, like a pro forma for our prayers? As we go through the next 4 weeks, hopefully all of us will get an understanding of the way we feel we should use it. So we come to the opening. I notice, first of all, Jesus says, Our Father. He uses the word our, not my. Because God is not just mine, God is ours. We're in this together. Our Father. And he uses the word Father. And the Greek word, I'm told that the Greek word that he used here for Father is Abba. And I'm told that is translated loosely in English as Daddy. It's like a child going up to their daddy. And imagine it. Put yourself back in those shoes when you're running to your father and you're saying, Daddy, you've got your arms open. So you're coming into God's presence. Daddy. Daddy, I need. Daddy, I love you. I want to be with you. Our, not my, Father, Abba. And then we say, who is in heaven? Our Father who is in heaven. We recognize that the Father we are talking to is in heaven, ruling over heaven and earth. It's not like just saying, our Father in heaven, or my dad in the living room. We're saying, God in heaven, ruler of all things, I can come into your presence and call you Abba. This is just the opening phrase of the prayer. What else have we got to come? We recognize that God is on his throne in heaven, and it helps us to put things in perspective. He is all powerful, and he is our Father. I was working with a colleague the other day, first time I'd worked with him actually. We went to a patient and she'd had an episode, as we would call it. So we got it as she was struggling to breathe. She couldn't speak, she couldn't move, she had passed out. We got to the house and she's sitting on the settee with her husband and a couple of neighbours are there. And by which point she's coming out of this episode. And long story short, we couldn't find anything wrong with her. So we were a little bit concerned. So we had a chat with her. And in chatting with her, she said, well, I don't know if you believe any of this, she said, but my friends that were with us earlier on, we go to church and they laid their hands on me and they prayed. And I believe that that's when things turned back round again. So her opening statement was, I don't know if you believe this, I don't know if you do this, you go to church. And I said, well, actually I do. And I understand what you're saying. We got in the cab of the ambulance afterwards. We left her at home. She wanted to stay at home. And she was well enough to stay at home. We don't just glibly leave people, whatever. And my colleague said to me, she said that thing about prayer. Do you believe that about prayer? And we went into a 20-minute conversation about God and about prayer. Simply from a statement from a patient, I believe that's when things turned around. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is not just something we do as a ritual. Bible readings are not something you should do just as a ritual. If you're going to pick up the Bible every day and you're just going to read a passage, that's fine. At least you're reading it. But you want to do it because you want to learn from it. You want to do it because this is God's word and he's going to speak to you through it. And when you've read your Bible, you come to your prayer. Lord, from what I've read today, what are you saying to me? What can I learn? Father, what are you trying to teach me? We understand that God is all powerful, our Father in heaven. But it doesn't mean we can't come into his presence and we can't relax and rest and be natural with him. So, the New Testament, this is from our study, the New Testament encourages Christians to address God as Abba. Think about your own view of God, of God the Father, as you read those verses. As you read these verses, because you are sons and daughters, we have to do that. Because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. That's Galatians. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. For the next week, so between now and next Sunday, try addressing your prayers to Abba. It may seem strange to start off with, but you are taking on your lips the same word that Jesus used as he addressed his Father. The art of this study is not for us to tell you what to pray, how to pray, when to pray, why to pray, and what words to use. It's hopefully to make your relationship with your Father, our Father, Abba, better over the next few weeks. I've chosen a song. It's not in the songbooks, I don't think, because I think it's probably too new. Ruth's going to come and she's going to sing along to the YouTube clip that is coming up. And it's a song by Martin Smith. I don't know how many of you know who Martin Smith is. Martin Smith has been around for a long time. He was the lead singer with a band called Delirious. And we were talking yesterday at the Deacon's Day about worship. And worship is not something that is meant to be received as entertainment. It's something for us to experience. And I went to a Delirious concert one Sunday afternoon at a Christian camp we were at. And it was about an hour and a half, 2 hours long. And I came out and I just went, that was not a concert. that was 2 hours of worship. This song, I love it. And when it comes on in my car, I have to make sure I don't close my eyes. But it talks about, we're waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. It's talking about being in the presence of God. Now, Ruth's going to sing it all the way through, and then I will have a question for you. I even said he's cut the intro down a little bit, so you'll start a bit quicker than you've been seeing it at home. About waiting here for you with our hands lifted high. The key word, I think, is waiting. So when we come into God's presence, do we wait for his presence? Do we give him an opportunity to speak to us? So the question I wanted to ask you, because I was asked this, is are the congregation going to sing this? And I'm leaving that up to you. Would you like to have a go at singing this song? Yeah? We'll turn the volume up a little bit more on the on Martin Smith singing so you get the tune. But join us and sing. Again, you can stand. As it's a new song, you can sit and just enjoy. If you don't want to sing it, just enjoy the words and use the words as a prayer. Do you want to stay there or do you want to sit down? It's your choice. Okay, Adrian.
Oh, we need it.
He's written two of my favourite songs, and both of them, if they come on in the car, I have to be careful not to close my eyes, because they take me to a place where I want to be, and I feel like I'm in God's presence. And that's what that song is about, waiting here for you, with my hands lifted high. And in God's presence, it's not just a case of coming with our prayer requests. Sometimes it's a case of coming with our hands lifted high, and we say, Lord, I'm just going to wait for you and enjoy his presence. We're going to have our prayer focus. I haven't included this week the Lord's Prayer. I know some people will find that annoying or upsetting or whatever, but I haven't, because we're starting a study on the Lord's Prayer, and I felt, having only just done the opening phrase, for me, I would wait until the end of our month before I start reciting or using this prayer. Again, that's not to say nobody's going to use it, but that's just my thoughts. So that's why the Lord's Prayer hasn't been included. But let's pray. Father, Abba, we come before you humbly as your children, knowing we are sinners. We ask your forgiveness for all that we have done, things that we have done unintentionally, things that we have done with full intent, things that we have said, and even, Lord, things that we have thought. Wash us clean as we sit in your presence. We pray for our world, this tiny speck in space that you loved so much that you sent your Son. We pray for the atrocities that are going on, people seeking power, people causing wars. We pray for those who are suffering. We pray for those who are helping them. We pray for leaders. We pray for your church. And we ask, Lord, in the children's song that we used to sing many moons ago, he's got the whole world in his hands. Lord, surround this world with your love. Remind the inhabitants of this planet of how much you love them. We pray for our country. In the turmoil that it's in, between prime ministers, we don't know who we're having elected or has been elected. We won't know until tomorrow, but we pray for whoever it is. Lord, we ask that you would put your hand upon them, whether or not they acknowledge you as their Lord and Saviour. We ask that you would guide them in their thoughts, in their plans, in their selection of their cabinet. Lord, we pray that they would know your presence. We pray that as far as we can follow their guidance. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the hungry. We pray for those who are struggling and worrying about how they're going to pay their electricity bills or gas bills. We pray for those that don't know how they're going to feed their children. We pray for those in hospitals and those who are suffering at home. We pray for the services that are trying to help them. And we ask, Lord, that wherever we look, we seem to see chaos and disorganization. Lord, may we be bringers of your peace and of your good news. We pray for these situations. We lift them to you because, Lord, you love each and every person in this nation. I wish we could go out and solve all the problems because we love you. But that's not how it works. Give us the faith and the patience. But give us, Lord, the desire to spend time in your presence, waiting for you to understand what it is you are calling us as individuals and us as a congregation to do. We ask, Lord, that you would be with this church. Lord, that you would encourage both the congregations that meet here, Lord, to listen for your voice, to know the way forward. Lord, we want to be a church that is known for serving you, for holding high your principles and your word, to be a light in this nation and in this area of Northampton. But Lord, we only want to do that which you are powering us to do. Help us, Lord, not to just take on things because they sound good, they look good. Lord, we want to do the things that you are giving us in your instructions to do. So we pray, Lord, that we would hear your voice. We pray, Father, as we go into this week and spend a little bit of time each day sitting down in a quiet place and saying, Abba, Father, and waiting for your presence, that we would learn from you. Guide us and fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to close this morning with the hymn, Thine Be the Glory. The Lord's Prayer finishes with Thine, yours is the power, the kingdom and the glory. So we're going to finish with Thine Be the Glory. So let's sing together this hymn.
Thank you.
I ask that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Father, as we go into our week, draw us closer to you and help us to wait on you. Amen. God bless you.
Yeah. So she could just get in on the left. We didn't want to project it on the screen. We thought if she looked up,
yeah.
Right up to a full stop. They wanted to be like, why?
Thank you.